broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Hollywood icons Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher pass on. Scientology attacks A&E. We judge upcoming 2017 TV shows. New Year's advice is solicited to Bravo celebrities whether they want it or not. And there's more where that came from with June Flory. Let the ranting begin. It's our 2017 kickoff show with fan favorite, author, and artist June Flory, Granny to Me.
Oh, hi there, Grant. Nice to be with you.
Here we are again doing another show. I feel like every 6 months we have to check in with
you. Oh, yes. A lot of things happen in those 6 months.
A lot. We talk offline or off the show all the time. So,
yes.
Like we say, of course, why not record some of these conversations? We're together on the East Coast for the holidays, and it is New Year's Eve.
I want to say hi to all my friends and...
Yeah. Oh, and at Wendy T. Shaw.
And Wendy T. Shaw, she seems to enjoy my stories, and I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, she's a follower over on Twitter. Shout out to Wendy, who's really a sweetheart and really listens to the show.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And loves your work. So
yeah.
That's good. We appreciate that.
I've been writing a lot. I have a lot of different stories now. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I've written my book, and that will be printed in a couple of months, and it'll be available on Amazon. And it's, I think, a very interesting book. It has a lot of history in it, but a lot of comedy also, and talking about my family and what they went through when they first started out in this country and how difficult it was for them and all the little incidents that happened. It's something that you can't get when you go on Ancestry. Ancestry is fine, but you can't get all the personal things on Ancestry.
Right, it's very, like, it's all grids.
I mean,
you don't get,
so this is all little personal things that Ancestry would never know about.
Yeah, a priceless book, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it's good. I've been enjoying writing it, and also I have other little stories that I've been writing since the book is finished.
Yeah.
And I'll probably read one short one today if we have time.
We will, absolutely. Yeah, why not? There's a lot to talk about, especially with all that you've been doing.
Yeah.
You know.
I've been busy all the time.
Probably busier than me.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm probably busier than me with getting all this stuff. Every time I talk to you, there's another story due. You've got something else to get
I write
done.
A story every week, if I can.
Yeah,
I love that. I'm digging deep into my thoughts of the past and my memories, you know, digging deep to remembering things. Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
And I never thought of that, but now I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing brings on another.
Yeah,
so
it's true. It's like a little index. Yeah.
It's like a link, you know.
True.
The brain is a computer.
Right. Well, let's talk about some Hollywood talk. We would be remiss if we did not discuss Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds on the show.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible.
Real Hollywood talk.
Yes.
Did you see there was a special on 2020 the other night about it?
No.
Well, it was as good as it can be for ABC. But I watched it, and I thought it was good. It was interesting. The relationship, the dynamic between the two, apparently they were separated for almost 10 years, then they came together and they live on the same compound, and they lived, sadly enough. And it was just, what an outpouring of support for her, for the mother, for the daughter. They dimmed the lights at the Chinese theater, which I've never seen before.
Yes, I saw that, yes.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. And now they're getting ready to have a joint funeral.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
But, in other words, if you look at it in another way, I mean, they're going together. And, you know, if we believe, as most of us do, that there is something after death, they're going together into the blue yonder, as we call it.
Yeah.
Things like that, especially at the mother's age, she's in her 80s, as I am. Traumatic things like that can actually affect your health. I've seen it with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother having to plan her daughter's funeral at such a shocking time when the daughter died so quickly like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can really understand how she could have gone into a stroke and passed away.
Yeah.
She was a feisty little thing, that Debbie Reynolds. She went through a lot in her lifetime, and she came through every time. Her daughter had a lot of problems. I read some of her books, and she tried to be funny about her addictions and stuff, you know? And I've seen her on the television, too. So I wish them both well into the next life.
Right.
Yeah. It's a sad thing, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was very dramatic. It was really like, you know, it was a real Hollywood ending when I was reading and watching and educating myself on what happened, because she said that she wanted to be with Carrie. That was the last thing she said. She closed her eyes and she just went.
Yeah.
It's like she willed herself away, which is so crazy to me. But yeah,
that
I guess
they're
so connected.
That can happen. A lot of times when people are ill and... They do wish themselves away sometimes. Mm-hmm. They give in and let themselves go. Mm-hmm. And I guess if she really wanted to be with her daughter, that's what happened.
Yeah. So. Well, Carrie Fisher has a lot of projects coming out in 2017, including that Star Wars movie. She's going to be a voice on Family Guy. And her mother shot a documentary for HBO. Both of them are in it. It's called Bright Light, starring Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. Interesting that they would put Carrie first instead of Debbie in that title. Just saying, weird. But it hasn't come out yet, and if they were smart, they put that out immediately. Because that's what people are talking about. And I mean, I'd be interested. I probably would not have watched that documentary until now because it just piqued my interest. And
what is it about, you know?
It's about their relationship, but I guess looking back their careers and where they are now. And they live, like I mentioned, on the same compound in Beverly Hills. Mm. So they're very tight, very
how
close.
Apropos that they did that before this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, almost as if there was a forewarning that they should do something together before it was too late.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's funny how things go.
Yeah. Debbie Reynolds, just looking at all the clips of her movies, she's really the end of a certain Hollywood era.
Oh, she is. Oh, for sure.
I mean, I don't know anyone that's left from, even she said she was the only survivor from Singing in the Rain.
I know.
They're all gone. And she was, even when she did a performance, they closed the ABC piece with a shot of her on Oprah in 2011, I believe. And it was had to be her last season. Didn't Oprah leave in 2011? But her and her daughter were singing, and just she had such a showgirl, you know, like a huge smile on her face the entire time she's singing. Yeah. Where everyone else, you know, they have to be so dramatic.
Yeah,
and they have to play a part. But she wasn't there to play a part. She was there just to entertain.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, it's like such a dead form, sadly.
Yep, yep. Sadly. She was so talented. Mm-hmm. In some of her early movies there, like Singing in the Rain, I mean, she didn't know how to dance or anything. She had to learn all that.
Yeah.
And she did it. And she sang, she danced, and she was so quick on her feet. And she was really a very happy, happy entertainer. Mm. She was.
I have to know, where did you stand with Liz Taylor and her?
Well,
which side were you on? Team Liz or Team Debbie?
I was on Team Debbie.
Yeah.
She was a lovely little mother. She loved her kids. And Elizabeth Taylor, she was really very beautiful, and she could have any man she wanted. And she did have a lot of different men. I don't know how many times she was married, 4 or 5 or 6 times, I don't know. But she had to go and take Debbie's man away from her, and you know, it didn't last. Mm-hmm. She broke up that family, and it didn't last.
Yeah.
So, you know, shame on her, really, on Liz.
Yeah.
But I guess over the years, they've kind of, you know, mellowed out about it. But it was a disaster, and it was really all over the papers, and a big scandal when it happened, you know, and yet she overcame that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Debbie Reynolds, she married another man who was in, I think he was in the shoe business. He owned some kind of a shoe factory. And he went bankrupt, I believe. And she had to buckle down and pay off all his bills. You know, that she's really had a tough life. And she, like I said, she's always come through. And so, you know, and she was, like I said, she was attached to her children from day one.
Yeah.
She was a real mother, you know.
Yeah.
And so I can understand how Carrie passing would break her heart and just want to be with her, too.
Yeah.
She's had a tough life. And she went to Las Vegas and she entertained in Las Vegas for a good many years. she was full of pep and life, and
yeah,
she was a feisty little thing, I'll tell you.
Yeah. True Hollywood
stars. Very entertaining. Yeah. The last of an era, believe
true,
me.
Truly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should write a story about that.
Yes, I think you should, yes. Let's turn and take a look at 2017, and let's give some advice to reality stars, specifically in Beverly Hills. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are back.
Yes.
I want to know, there's a few people, I know not everyone is getting great reviews. I know not everyone is very... I'm not thrilled with everyone on that show either. I think the show, it's good, but it's not great like it used to be. What are people saying?
Well, according to TV Guide, in Cheers and Jeers, they're saying jeers to Dorit Kemsley.
Oh, yeah.
That's Dorit, the latest, the newest one there with the husband and...
That weirdo husband with two necks.
Yeah, she did. Kind of reminds me of a melon of some kind. And she gets jeers for being such a dud. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills' newest neighbor is so boring. Even her bestie boy, George, a pricey Buddha-themed birthday party, and the fake British accent aren't enough to put her on the 90210 map. Kind of bland. She's kind of vanilla.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
And then, of course, she's the complete opposite of Lisa Rinna, who's so over-animated.
Yeah, that article's tough, though, because they're jeering someone for being themselves. Oh, she is pretty phony, but it's not like she's playing a character. You know, like, it's basically, like, what she's putting out there. That's kind of rough to be like, you're boring, you're awful, not even everything you have makes you interesting.
No, I know.
But, yeah, no, what advice do you have for her, the husband, the new-to-reality TV in this sense? You know, what do you have to say to them?
Well, I say continue to be yourself, but maybe pep it up a little bit. I don't know what else they can do to pep it up. I mean, I don't want to see her become overreactive like Lisa Rinna.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's so much the other way. I mean, her eyes practically pop out of her head at the least little thing.
Yeah.
She overreacts to everything.
Do you think that Dorit and her husband know what they're in for, though?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I think they have kind of an innocent duo, and they don't really realize what might happen to them in the future.
Well, from the show.
Yes.
All right.
You know, I mean, they seem like a very happy couple. And with their little boy, or the girl. I guess it's a girl.
The girl and boy. Both. Yeah. They've got both.
And so they seem like a very kind of normal couple. That's why maybe this finds her boring.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that it's a lot of phony stuff going on, though. It's not authentic. I feel like with Erica Jane, you know what you're getting for the most part.
And yeah.
It's a little bit more transparent than this. I think this one's just trying to dazzle everyone with these items, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The car, the party, boy George.
Yeah, that was really something when she got the car. And it's kind of to a person that's in the normal, or I'd say lower, not lower, but mid class of life. It's kind of obscene to me to see these people spend so much money on such superfluous things that they really, really don't need. But I know it's probably a lot for the show, too.
Yeah. That car that he got, I don't get how they afforded that, because he filed for bankruptcy, like, not even 10 years ago. Like, allegedly. But, I mean, he really did file. But I don't know the exact timeline, but it wasn't like a lifetime ago. So buying a $250,000 car, I mean, it just doesn't add up to me. When you were like a million plus in the hole only a few years ago.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of a bankruptcy you file. Sometimes when you file for a bankruptcy, everything is paid off. And then you start from scratch again. So I don't know. Maybe he
make money quick, I guess.
What kind of a business is he in, anyway?
He's a manager, a talent manager. That's why he has Boy George around.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about Kyle. Kyle does a lot of watching and observing.
Oh, she's got those sliding eyes. That's what I call them.
Yeah.
She sits there around the table or wherever at a party, and she just sits there and observes like a tennis player. Her eyeballs go back and forth.
It's true. It's true.
It's like she's looking at a tennis match to see the reaction of each person. She doesn't get herself involved that much. She just sits there, bing, bong, bong, bing, mm-hmm. back and forth. The eyeballs roll, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And she ought to cut that out a little bit. It gets a little bit sickening.
Yeah, Kyle, if you're listening, watch it with the eyes. Someone said, a couple of people have said that if you look at a lot of the feuds on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, they all trace back to her somehow. I don't know. I don't want to give her that much credit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't even mind Kyle, but to me, she's just kind of like, she's there. You know, to me, she hasn't really delivered that much.
No, she gets away with a lot by just smiling and putting her eyes back and forth, looking at people.
Yeah.
You know, she's kind of like the instigator behind the scenes.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, who else can we give advice to? You mentioned Lisa Rinna.
Oh, yeah. She overreacts to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like on some kind of a wire. She's very wiry, you know.
I'm going to give Lisa Rinna some advice from this side of the show. We need to see more than you just selling clothes on QVC.
Yes.
She's done it, I think, every episode, and we're only 3 episodes in at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to see a little bit more than just her business, and I get it. And I think what this show does, I know it's obvious with Lisa Vanderpump, but I feel like they have in their contract that they have to have so much of their side hustle shown. That's why Lisa's always at those businesses and we have to hear about all the things that she does for the animals, and she's doing
yes.
the same thing too.
Yeah.
But it's like, what? I know that's part of the deal of getting on, and you have to have agendas, and God knows I promote enough of my stuff. But I mean, what else do you got? Especially Lisa Rinna. I mean, what else do we have? You know, she doesn't want her husband on the show. The daughters, I guess, are doing their thing.
She was on one episode with her daughters.
Yeah.
It was a short episode. Talking about her daughters that now, you know, they're grown and everything. And she seems to be attached very much so to her daughters and her husband also.
Yeah.
They seem to be a happy couple. And I'm glad that nothing happened, because when she first came on the show, I told her to watch out, because I didn't want her and her to have any problems with her husband.
She almost did
when the sister there, Kim, it said something about her husband. I thought she'd go wild
mm-hmm.
when she mentioned her husband,
yep.
that he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing.
Yep.
But I guess that passed over, and they've overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that Harry Hamlin, he's gotten quite a few good roles in the past year or so. He was on Mad Men.
Oh, yeah.
He had a good role on that. And I think he's on another one now, too, also. Well,
she claims he doesn't have to work again because she sells so many clothes.
Oh,
but I don't know. I don't know if that's successful.
Wow.
I don't know anyone walking around in Lisa Rinna clothes. But.
Well, you know, you get on QVC and you can become a millionaire.
I bet.
Because they sell so much. If you ever look at those programs, which I don't.
I've never ordered anything off of the television. And I've watched so much, but I've never ordered anything.
I have ordered a few things years ago from Home Shopping Network. QVC, I don't think I've ordered anything. But I look at them once in a great while. And they can sell hundreds and hundreds of items in the hour that they're on.
Yeah.
So I can see how she could be making quite a bit of money.
Mm. What about Andy Cohen? Do you have any advice for him?
Oh, Andy Cohen, He acts like the little innocent boy with that little grin on his face, and he loves all these people that come on his show, and he antagonizes them with all these questions that they have to answer and all these stupid games they have to play.
Oh, the games.
You know, and he can get very raunchy, and he makes people do and say things they really don't want to do. But, I mean, I'm not that crazy about Andy Cohen. He mm-hmm. looks like Mr. Sweet Little Nice Guy, but he really isn't.
Mm.
And I don't know who gives him these questions or if he has a script. Do you know if he has a script that he goes by, or all these things come out of his own head?
What I've heard is that when those shows are pre-recorded, that they know every question that's coming in and those are set up ahead of time, which I can understand, because if they're not live, how would a caller know that they're recording the show? You know, how would they know that it's being pre-recorded at 3 o'clock in the afternoon versus 11:30 at night? So I get it to a degree, but I mean, that show, I think almost everything is prepared for him. Let's just say that, allegedly. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? Andy, I feel like he has really embraced his celebrity, but almost too much, where it's not, he's not like a viewer like us anymore. It's, he's so much involved and so in the middle of all of that and so obnoxious about it in certain ways that it's not really fun anymore. It's kind of like when you used to know someone that was really chill and liked to have a good time and you had similar interests, and then they like got all involved with like the people, like the cool kids or like the people that they were gossiping about, and it's like, wait a minute, like I thought we were, this was all like a joke, but like, just, it's kind of like someone who's kind of like got too cool for school, in my opinion, and I don't feel like he does the work at the reunions anymore, and I've always been very open about that. But I mean, I don't knock his hustle though. He's, I mean, he's got plenty of gigs, plenty of endorsements and books and travel, and I mean, he does his thing.
Yeah, well, he does, those reunions are really something. I mean, he pits one against the other and gets them all riled up. He's got the knack for that.
Well, our holiday episode, we awarded Kanye West with the Barbara Walters Award. What advice do you have for Barbara?
Well, Barbara has had a sad awakening. She's very upset that The View is not what it used to be. Hello? You just finding that out, Barbara?
I know.
I mean, it's been going downhill for a long time. And since she left, it's been just a mishmash of people that come on and go and come and go. And I've lost interest in looking at it a long time ago.
But no, I mean,
she's now just finding out that she's not happy with how it's turned out. That it's failed. You know, it hasn't. It's not as interesting as it used to be. One thing is very important. You have to know when to stop. And I don't think she knew when to stop.
Oh, no. That's why she's, the award is named after her, for not knowing when to give it up.
You have to know when to stop. You have to leave them wanting more.
You can't
saturate people with something that's going downhill, because it's just going to end up in the mud.
Yeah, I mean, the show, supposedly with the election, it did pretty well in the ratings, but I mean, how long can they keep that going? The election is over, thank God. I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, how much longer can they keep the momentum going over there? I think collectively, if you look at the comments and what people are saying, everyone says that show is long overdue for cancellation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know my thoughts on ABC's The Trash. I mean, ABC's The View. Anyway, let's switch gears. I can't talk too much longer about that. A&E. They are under fire by the Church of Scientology for this show that they canceled, the Generation KKK, or now it was renamed Escaping KKK, because I thought the whole show was about people that were racists living somewhere in the United States that were part of the KKK, but no, it's actually about a group of people that are trying, they're extractors focused on getting people to leave the KKK.
Oh, I see.
So Escaping is a much better name, but it doesn't matter because the show isn't going to air anyway. And it's not airing because, allegedly, or what they're saying, is that producers were paying off people in the field to facilitate answers and getting people to come on, and that was something that wasn't approved by the network. So now Scientology is saying, well, you did the same thing for the Scientology documentary with Leah Remini. You paid people who were on camera talking about our church negatively were paid. So why isn't this show pulled from the air? And A&E is saying that they did not profile a hate group while doing the Scientology documentary. So there's a difference.
You know,
they're a church. The KKK is not a church.
Yeah.
There's the difference.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think of that? I mean, that Scientology, you know they're pissed with that show. I know you've looked at it.
Oh, yeah. I've looked at all of the series of it.
Yeah, Leah Remini.
It's amazing that these people were in there for 30, 40 years and never realized what was actually going on. Now, the other night, I mean, as far as the KKK goes, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's right, that they've prevented them from being on the air. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But as you say, that's not a so-called religion. It's a really some kind of a hate group.
Yeah.
But they can say and do all they want, but Scientology's been on and been seen.
True. It's already halfway through.
And if it has helped anybody in any way, I think it's good. I was amazed at the stories that those people told, and they all kind of related to one another, so I don't think they could have all been made up. They're too similar.
True.
Now, the other night, I saw the man who started off there when he was a young teenager. He was about 18, and he was into audiovisual. And he joined them, and he went right up the line, and he ended up taking care of all their big, big shows that they had. The people in Scientology had to go to one of these big galas at least 4 times a year. And they were huge, and they had gorgeous backgrounds and big auditoriums.
Really over the top.
And he, you know, he took care of all that. And they told the people all the good that they were doing by being in Scientology, all the people they had helped and all the money that had gone to this and how they were growing. And he said it was all lies. And he said they'd tell them, we helped all these people over in wherever, Africa or wherever. We helped all these children and sent them this and that. All lies, as he claims. Now, he said, and they tell them, and we are growing. We are really growing. And he said, yes, they were growing, but not in numbers. They were growing in acquisitions of land and property.
Still, that's still what they're doing.
And he said they built all these big buildings, churches, buildings, all kinds of hotels, all ghost towns. There is no one in any of them. But they have to use the money they get and show what they're doing with it.
Right.
So they build all these things to make it look as though they're advancing and growing, but they're just taking up space.
Yep. I saw a promo for it, and they had like these pop-ups, like, you know, like Great Britain. They show Big Ben pop-up, and they show the Sydney, the bridge in Sydney, you know, like the Sydney Opera House, more or less.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're here, and we're here, and we're here. And I was like, there's just no way with the knowledge that's online and out in the world that people are flocking there the way they're claiming.
No.
Now, but it is easy to buy up properties, and they have a lot of properties around Hollywood. Big, full buildings, even in New York, full buildings, but I can't imagine there's anything in them. I just, unless if they're putting up their parishioners there, which I don't think they are because they take money from them, I don't know what they could possibly need all this real estate for a church.
Well, they have to use the money that they're getting, and they have to show what they're doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they do give to any charities, that I don't know.
Right.
But evidently they have enough. If they do give to charities or they don't, they still have enough to build all these buildings that have nothing in them.
It's so strange. Isn't it fascinating?
I find it is.
When I watch that show on A&E, and I'm one episode behind because I've been traveling, but when I sit and watch that show, I'm in it. Like, the phone is away.
Yeah.
I'm watching it very closely because I just think it's so interesting. And like you said, a lot of those stories are connected.
Yes.
A lot of these people who have left, they've known each other for 30, 40 years, and they've, like, kind of like a brotherhood or a sisterhood. They've been through the same.
A lot of them stay.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to lose their families. Because they know if they leave, they're never going to see them again.
Yeah. And one thing they keep saying is when you leave with no money. I think there was a severance pay of $300.
Yeah.
A lot of these people are not educated. What do you do? I mean, it's really a nightmare. But, like we always say, Granny and I, God will provide.
Yes.
You know, you'll figure it out.
And as I said before, with these people that have belonged to this for so long, finally something happens in your life that makes you make a decision, and you know what decision you have to make.
Yeah.
So that's what happened to these people. Certain things just put them over the edge. They had enough, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss which shows coming up in 2017 we will be watching, and more importantly, what we're not interested in, because there's a lot on this list.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a look, and we'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube for bonus content. And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with June Flory, Granny. And
hello!
We're looking at 2017. We're looking forward. We need some new shows.
Good.
Yeah, so let's see what's coming on. We're going to look at some things. This is according to The Hollywood Reporter. I've got The Hollywood Reporter on my side. Granny will be referring to TV Guide. And we're going to take a look at some of the shows. I've got a list here. I'm going to read a quick description, and we're going to see if we're on the same page or not. Are we going to see
Sounds
it or not?
Sounds good. Okay.
First show that I saw, it's going to be on Hulu. First show, The Handmaid's Tale. Mad Men star Elizabeth Moss returns to TV as a woman held prisoner in sexual servitude by a dystopian society based on a novel by Margaret Atwood. A sex slave show.
I like Elizabeth Moss. She's a wonderful actress. She was in Mad Men.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd like to see her in some kind of a servitude, sexual servitude role. She's really dropped down in her acting ability to do that. I don't know.
That could be a challenge,
it
though.
It could be, yeah.
That could be a big job. I mean, you're saying it's not a glamorous show. You know, it's
It is a challenge for her, but gee, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know how I'd feel about watching that. We don't need any sex slaves. There's enough of them around. We don't need any more.
Do you know any?
not offhand, but
no.
I mean, you know, sex slaves. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, well, then there's, on Showtime, Twin Peaks. 27 years after the beloved original series premiered, and 3 years after the revival was first announced, I've heard about this forever, the miniseries will take its long-awaited debut sometime in 2017. Original series creators are back, and so are some original cast members, Kyle MacLachlan, Sherry Lynn Fenn, Miguel Ferrer, someone else, and many others, as well as new but very familiar faces like Naomi Watts, Amanda Seyfried, who I like, and it says, aside from the 217 actors confirmed for the project, little else is known. I've never heard of 217.
Well, when Twin Peaks was on before, I was a big fan of Twin Peaks. I loved that Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
And the girl that played the part of the girl that was dead, I've seen her. I don't know her name. Maybe she's that other actress that's listed there.
No, Sherry Lynn, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But Twin Peaks, it was a very, very mysterious show. It had a lot of depth to it and a lot of mystery to it. It was a little bit, you know, a mystery of that you never really could put your finger on what was happening.
Yeah.
But Twin Peaks, it was really something. I was really into it.
Yeah.
So now I don't know if it comes on a cable network that I can get, I will definitely look at it.
Yeah, I'm curious. And to me, I like a good soap. I like something juicy.
Yeah.
There's not a lot like that on
isn't.
That I like a serial.
Right.
You know, like a serial show. So yeah, no, I'm in
now,
for that.
I think I would look at that because I was definitely into it years ago when it first came on.
I mean, they have announced the show. I forgot all about it, and it's still to be determined, but sometime, it says literally in the sometime in 2017, so I don't know.
Well, if I'm still around, I'll definitely look at it.
On Fox, 24 Legacy is coming on from that 24 series they had before. So it says, sadly, it seems Jack Bauer is still stuck hiding in Russia. Maybe that's not such a bad thing anymore. But the producers behind the Emmy-winning hit have created a new hero to help save the day. Ugh, how lame. Insert war hero Eric Carter, who returns to the U.S. after leading a mission to kill a terrorist leader, only to find out he and his team are targeted for assassination and retaliation. Just like Jack, Eric turns to CTU for help while also trying to stop one of the largest-scale terrorist attacks on American soil. I didn't watch 24 to begin with. I thought the format, very interesting. because it was all real time, but not interested in watching this. I can't deal with any terrorism on television.
I can't either. There's enough of it around us. We don't have to make some up.
True.
I mean, there's enough real terrorism.
True.
I'm not into all that stuff.
No. That doesn't speak to me at all.
No, not me either. No, cross that off my list.
HBO, Big Little Lies. Let's see what this is about. There are some really good actresses in this, though, I will say. Once again, this is what it says, according to, again, the Hollywood Reporter. Once again, the pay cabler lures A-list talent to the small screen with the 7-part limited series headlined by Oscar winners Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman. Shailene Woodley, Alexander Skarsgård, Laura Dern, and Adam Scott also star in the adaptation of the best-selling book of the same name, which centers on three mothers of three first graders who lead seemingly perfect lives that unravel to the point of murder. Could be juicy. Like, that's a good cast.
Yes, HBO very good does, cast.
HBO does pretty good things with their talent.
I like Laura Dern very much.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something that you could get involved in if it doesn't go way off the chart. You know, I mean, sometimes they carry it too far and it becomes a little bit crazy instead of interesting.
The thing with that is it's a limited series. That's what helps, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like something like that, Blood and Oil. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like there are certain things that would, even like, not a very popular opinion, but even like Empire, I think, could be like a shortened, like, I just think when you've got a certain amount of episodes, you really have to cram things. Like Desperate Housewives, that last season.
Yeah.
They had too many episodes with too little story.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, just to keep it really juicy.
Becomes watered down.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
You know, watered down. Yeah.
Now, on Netflix is this show. It's going to be called Santa Clarita Diet. Little is known about the series, which revolves around married suburban real estate agents whose lives take a dark turn when the wife undergoes a dramatic change. More important, however, is the show's cast, which includes Drew Barrymore in her first series regular role and Timothy Oliphant in his first series since Justified wrapped on FX. I actually had an interview to be an assistant to one of the executive producers on this show, and it seemed all over the place to me. Basically, it was a job for me to be his driver so he could go to set. I didn't know where they were shooting, but it says Santa Clarita Diet is the name of the show. I have no interest in driving to Santa Clarita, so I'm glad I didn't get that job. Never heard from them, by the way.
Oh.
Another job that I could potentially still get because I never heard.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah, so I wonder what show she was working on, so this stuck out to me.
Yeah, well, Drew Barrymore is in that?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's her first series. I mean,
Drew Barrymore is this, what kind of a story is this again?
It says something about real estate, suburban real estate agents, a dark turn, a wife goes under a dramatic change. I don't know. It seems a little odd for Drew. I don't know. It seems like
different.
Yeah,
it's not her thing. I mean, Drew Barrymore, I mean, she's funny. She's, you know.
I love her.
Yeah, she's funny, and she's a wonderful actress. And maybe this will be some kind of a challenge for her, but I don't know. I might give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at it, you know, 2 or 3 times and see if I can get into it.
Right. Another show coming up in 2017 is being billed as The New Celebrity Apprentice on NBC.
Oh, yes.
Here's what they have to say about it at The Hollywood Reporter. Although it hasn't been on in nearly 2 years, true, the reality competition has managed to stay in the headlines as of late thanks to the presidential election. With DT out as host, the long-running series is looking to reinvent itself with a new location in Silicon Beach, new host Arnold Schwarzenegger, and even a new tagline. You have some information on this show. I mean, I'm planning to watch. Are you?
I'm planning on watching it. I don't know if I'll be able to get into it. I have to see how Schwarzenegger does on this show. I never was a big fan of his.
Mm-hmm.
He always was in all these big, you know, shows where he was the big man, you know, the superhero or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, the Terminator.
So the Terminator. So, I mean, they're wondering how he's going to stop people from being on the show. Is he going to say, you're terminated? Or is,
yeah,
you know,
the tagline.
Yeah. But anyway, he I'm going to give it a try. Some of the people that are on there, he talks about, he's got Boy George on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's an ass-kicking kind of guy who got in there and really played well with others. He's got John Lovitz, a comedian.
Oh, yeah, he's funny.
I know John very well, he said. We've hung out a lot, so I was very pleased he was on the show. He carved out his own niche.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nicole Snooki Peluzzi.
Oh, yeah. I know you love the cast of Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't stomach it for more than one episode. But she's kind of changed. She's got married. She has children. She seems as though she's kind of got a little bit stable, you know?
Yeah, yeah. My sister was showing me her Snapchat, and she seems to have, like, a decent, normal existence.
Yeah, she seems as though she's got her act together. So I'm curious to see her. She said she was... Snooki was so worried about image and wanted to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her that all she had to do was to be herself and people would see very quickly that she's a smart girl.
Mm.
So maybe she's going to surprise us.
That could really improve her image, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, the image she put out there was like 10 years ago, but
right.
People don't think. People aren't that progressive, so that could help her.
And then they have Vince Neil, who's the lead singer of the Motley Crue. And with his background as a rock star, he was obviously a very talented performer. But he was also surprisingly deep thinking. And Lisa Leslie, she's a former WNBA basketball player.
I don't know her.
I don't either, but she said she was so talented with her business sense. She's very well-read and versatile, so she takes on a lot of leadership roles.
That could be good, because the athletes never do well.
I know.
They never do well on the show.
And then he's got Carson Kressley, fashion expert, Queer Eye alumni. We had the greatest time together. He played his role to the hilt and was just hilarious.
I do have to say, Carson makes good TV. He's a larger-than-life personality, so it's
gonna
be good.
You know, it may be interesting, and there were others. I think Kyle Richards is in there.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Kyle and her eyes. Will
oh,
be
yeah,
coming.
She's gonna be going back and forth, ping ponging. Yeah, we'll see her doing that.
Yeah,
she'll stay in the background. I bet she'll be one of the ones that lasts quite a while because she doesn't get too involved, she just sits back and goes back and forth and watches people.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting.
Portia Williams from The Real Housewives of Atlanta is going to be on there. And now she's not very bright. So I don't know. I don't think this is going to help. Unlike Snooki, I don't think this is going to help her image very much. I don't anticipate her going very far. But good for her for getting on the show. They love to cast housewives, and I'm all for it.
Yeah,
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to look.
I'm going to watch it,
I will be doing the after show on AfterBuzz for that, so you can look forward to that if you want to watch.
Yes, I definitely
I'll be sharing
will.
My thoughts.
Definitely will, yes.
Yes, well, let's turn the page.
So we'll say hasta la vista. That's how you might say you're fired.
Oh, really?
Hasta la vista, baby. We'll see.
Well, let's turn the page and look at you, and let's talk about this book.
Okay.
Now, you've been talking a lot about the book on our conversations, and let's kind of fill everyone in on what was the inspiration?
I've always wanted to write from when I was very young. In fact, I went through school with the idea of going to college to be a journalist, but things happened in my life, as you will see in the book, that prevented me from doing so. So now I'm living out my dream of writing, and I'm very proud to say that I did have one of my writings published in the Providence Journal, which is the biggest paper in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gone back and I've done a lot of research and pulled a lot of memories out of when my father first came to this country. The name of the book is My Italian Family, Life in the Past Lane. And so I've got about 135 chapters.
Mm-hmm. So each chapter are different.
Each chapter is different. I talk about what my family went through when they first came to this country. My mother was born here, but what they went through when they were first married, all my memories of growing up, why I was called a mistake. Also,
I'm sure that's a good one.
Why I do certain things when I hear, I feel like doing certain things when I hear an opera. That's very interesting.
What are these certain things? That's good. All right, I'm intrigued. Go ahead.
The different things that I went through growing up, how things were in those days, what happened during World War II, how we had to live during World War II, what I did, even though I was only 15 or 16, what I did for the war effort, what happened with my maternal grandmother, why I never knew her. It's very interesting, and I think that people will enjoy reading it. And also, I had an affair with the Superman building, which is a big building in Providence, which is now, they don't really know what to do with it. It was an industrial trust bank, the tallest building in Providence. And it since has gone downhill, and somebody bought it, and they don't know quite what to do with it. But I have an interesting story about what happened. They call it the Superman building now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like one of the buildings in one of the movies that was in Superman.
Right.
And so I have quite a few things that I, you know, in my book. And I hope people will enjoy it when it comes out. It's finished, and I just have to proofread it now. And then it will be printed, and it should come out in the spring sometime.
Wonderful.
And as I say, you can buy it on Amazon. Mm. And the name of it is My Italian Family, Life in the Past Lane.
What was the timeline like to create this book? Just give us a
snapshot. It's taken me about a year to write this book.
Mm-hmm. I thought so. Because we were starting to do some writing when we had our podcast at the beginning of last year, our annual New Year's episode.
I wrote a chapter almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think it's an interesting little story about what happened in my era growing up.
I know you've been consulting with other writers, with your class.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's a lot of eyes on this. You're getting some assistance with getting this book published, which is excellent.
Yes, yes, yes. My nephew is helping me with it. Oh, he's done a lot of work, a lot of hours to get everything put together. I have some of my paintings also in the book that are apropos, that go with the stories, some of the things that I've painted. So I think, you know, people might be interested. Now, I finished the book, but I write little, what I call mental snapshots. And I have about maybe 15 or 20 of those. And I'm thinking that if this book is a success, I might have another book printed with all these little mental snapshots. Mm-hmm. This book goes until I graduated from high school. It goes from when I was born to when I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as it goes.
But it's not all about you. It's not like your life story.
It's not an autobiography.
Right.
It's just things that have happened in my family, how we lived, different things that my parents did.
Mm-hmm.
So now, these mental snapshots are things that happened recently or after when I was growing up, after high school, different things that I did. And little stories. And I have one here that people might be interested to give you a little idea of what they're about.
Yes, let's hear this snapshot.
This is a little short snapshot of one of the little things that happened to me. Some of them, I try to put a little bit of comedy in my stories. Some of them in the book are kind of dark, but that's the way life was. I tell it the way it was. In everybody's life, there is some dark. It can't be all light.
Yeah.
So in my book, there is darkness, but there also is some comedy. I try to put a little funniness in the stories.
Yeah.
So this is one of them that happened to me a few years ago. A few years ago, I belonged to the Wickford Art Club, and I joined the Tuesday morning portrait workshop. There was no instruction or critiquing. Artists from professional to amateur would come with their easels and supplies to draw portraits from live models. I had never drawn from live models, but doing it week after week, learning how to measure the facial features and putting shadows in the right places, I was pleasantly surprised on some of the likenesses I achieved. After attending this for about 3 years, I heard about another portrait class in the Pontiac Mills and decided to give it a try for a change. The portrait class was on the second floor of this old mill building. The interior was really spooky. The first floor consisted of some shops that sold antiques and vintage clothing. It was like going back in time 50 years. Most of the building was empty. To get to the second floor, you had to take an ancient elevator the size of a phone booth. It was a real challenge for me to get into this little coffin and hope it didn't get stuck and the door would open. On entering the drawing studio, I realized immediately that I had made a mistake. I forgot that this workshop had alternate weeks. One was for head portraits and the other for full body portraits. This was full body week. On a small stage stood a beautiful young black man in all his naked glory. I was embarrassed, but real artists are never embarrassed about naked bodies, so I had to look very nonchalant like everyone else. While everyone was deeply engrossed in the subject, I quietly set up my easel to take on the challenge. I didn't draw his full body, but concentrated only on his face. I didn't want to look below the waist. As I'm sitting there drawing, I chuckle to myself, wondering what my kids would think if they knew I was sitting at eye level, 5 feet away from this young man's family jewels. What amazed me was when he took a break, he would sit down and put shorts on. Maybe he was modest when he wasn't working. After the session, he came over to see what I had drawn. He was pleased with the likeness I captured of him, even though it didn't include his manhood. I never came in contact with another full-body workshop. I always checked the week to make sure it was a head portrait only. They were enjoyable, but I did miss that full-body experience.
You have the portrait here of the man.
I do. His name was Omni.
I'm going to put this on my Twitter, at @grants_rants, and you can see... You can see that way. You can tell you're definitely just going for the face.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No further than the shoulders.
Very attractive man.
Oh, though. Yes, he was.
Yeah. I love that story. All of your stories have a twist.
Yes.
And there's a lot of painting of a picture, and you think it's going to go one way. Like, you were talking about the elevator. You were talking about the process of getting there. No one would have predicted you'd be sitting across from a man's junk.
That's exactly. Yeah. I was just as surprised as anybody else. But as I said, I enjoyed it, and he came over and he said, "Wow, you really caught my expression."
Yeah. So, I bet. Was that the same place? I remember you told me once you had to go into a mill and you had to pull a big rope.
Yes.
You had to pull a rope.
Oh, that was terrible. That was the other elevator. That was the freight elevator, and it was ancient. And it had a big hole in the floor. The floor was wooden, and you had to get in there. There was no door to shut or anything. You just stood on this platform with a big hole in the floor, and you had to pull the rope to get up to the second floor. I didn't have the strength to do it. So I had to get in that little phone booth of an elevator.
Mm.
Quite a thing.
Yeah.
And that mill now has been all refurbished.
Yeah.
It no longer is like it was. They've turned it into all kinds of condos and little shops and things like that.
I have yet to check that out. I heard about that. I have yet to go. Yeah, I like that.
I haven't seen it either, to be honest with you. But that was quite an experience going into that building.
I'm very excited.
It was very, very creepy.
I bet. I'm really excited to read this book because... Like any artist, you know, you hear about projects that people are working on, and you really can't see anything until it's done, you know? And I want to experience it truly when it's all published and set and done.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to the book. I've been hearing a lot about it. I like it. And of course, like, what you mentioned, very interesting, because I'm also part of that. It's part of a family experience,
right,
that you're talking about.
Yes.
But also the mental snapshots show your flexibility and your, you know.
Yeah, I have a lot of different stories.
Yeah.
Especially the one about what happens to the person that created these menus that you get when you make a phone call.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I wrote quite a story about that. What happens to that person when they want to get into heaven?
Mm.
They're going to face a lot of prompts.
Yes.
So that's quite a story.
Mm-hmm. Well, to hear your story that was published in the Providence Journal, you can find that. I've tweeted that as well, but you can find that on the Providence Journal website. All you have to do is search June Flory, and you can find that anywhere.
I was very pleased that that story got published.
Mm-hmm. And that story was about shopping.
How it used to be shopping back in the 30s, 40s, 50s. How it was a completely different experience. And that's why I wrote it, because people of your generation and younger wouldn't know anything about that kind of shopping.
No.
And it's really a shame, because it was a very nice kind of shopping experience.
Mm-hmm.
Things were so different then, and people were so accommodating.
Yeah.
They really took pride in taking care of you when you went into a department store.
You know, I was in Macy's yesterday trying to get shoes, and they had one person for coats and shoes,
yeah,
with a long line.
Yeah.
Usually they run up to you if you even look at a shoe.
Yeah.
Because they just want to make the commission. But never mind looking as far back as you were writing. I mean, that would never fly. I mean, literally, we waited. I tried on one pair of shoes. The whole thing took me 40 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's why I say it's that, yeah, article is interesting.
Yeah. And those shoes weren't even in stock.
Yeah.
I had to order them and gonna have them shipped because I couldn't even try them on. So yeah, shopping is the total polar opposite.
Oh, it was wonderful in those days. And the article itself was 1,400 words. But to have it printed in the journal, I had to take it down to 700.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me quite a while to edit that and still try to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
To take out a lot of superfluous things that made the story interesting, but I had to take them out and still try to keep the core of the story.
Right, yeah.
So it was published, and the editor at the journal complimented me and said it was a beautiful piece of writing. So I was happy.
Wonderful.
About
good
that.
Good for you. Good for you.
I have others, if he's interested. I have others, little things from my book that I could send him about World War II, how we lived, how my affair with the Superman building, which is very interesting to the people in Rhode Island. I don't know if it'd be interesting to anybody else, but they might be interested in how we had to live during World War II.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting to me.
Right. Oh, no, I think so.
And
most.
I think the people that I go to class with, I go every Thursday, and there's a small group of us that write, and they seem to find my stories very interesting. So with that, I'm encouraged.
That's great.
So when the book is finally ready to be purchased, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know, and I will make sure everyone knows as well, shout it out and promote it in the show, because I really think that people would be interested in this book. You know, you've got a big personality on this show, and like people,
yes,
love watching you. So why not read the book and learn more? And it's actually like a ton of work has been put into this.
Yes.
So you know it's quality work coming from this one.
Yeah.
So what else are you doing besides doing the writing? I know that's been taking a lot of your time, especially preparing this for publishing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I haven't had time to do much painting.
Mm-hmm.
I did do a small painting for the book, something that I wanted to put in that went with the story. But other than that, I've been putting most of my time into writing right now. But
mm-hmm.
I am getting back into painting in the new year.
Yeah.
I have a couple of projects that I have to do for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be doing that.
Well, Granny, I'm so happy that you did the writing, because you told me when I was a kid that you used to love to write poetry.
I did. I have a whole book of poems, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some of my poems in the book that go with the stories.
Right.
One of them, when I was in high school, that I wrote during World War II, was published in the anthology of high school poetry, and I have that in the book also.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, I've always wanted to write, and hopefully in your future, you might be able to take some of these stories and create a film about them.
I'd love to do something, even a short, like a little short, you know?
Yeah, because you're so good at that.
Yeah, it's super inspiring, and again, I've heard...
There's a lot of material there that you could pull from, and even if you don't follow it to the letter, it might give you some inspiration for a story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've talked about writing for so long, and I've always known you for doing the paintings and the wreaths and everything in between. This lady has made a lot of things.
Oh, God, I can't...
From clothing.
I've done so many crafts, I can't count them all.
No, I can't even remember.
I must have done at least 30 or 40 different kinds of crafts in my lifetime. In fact,
sold them, made money on them.
Yeah.
But I've always heard about the writing, and so I'm so glad. That's something I haven't seen you really do in my lifetime.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm so glad to see that you're doing that and you're finding success with it, and you really are very happy doing it.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I can tell, like, you get very excited about it. And they're good. She's a very good writer, kids.
Oh, thank you.
So definitely check out the book. You know that I will let you know when it's available here on The Rants. I'm looking forward to it, so.
Yes, well, I'd like to say... to anybody out there that has heard me in the past and was anxious to hear me again, that I'm glad to be able to do it. And we're going to do more in the future.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I encourage all of you to listen to our holiday party panel if you haven't already. It's the episode right after this one, and it was a really great episode. I'm really happy with it, and we teased this episode quite a bit, so it's a good listen. Make sure you check it out. Yeah, are you still on Twitter?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Well, you can follow her at JuneBug1929. That was her account last time we checked.
Or you can email me, JuneFrancis@Verizon.net.
There you go. Yeah, who doesn't want some feedback? But no spam, because ain't nobody got time for that.
No. But, yes, yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you for coming in. We'll tell you about the book. Granny, the ranting was real.
Yes, it was. It always is.
It always is. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye open for all upcoming projects, and we'll have you on. We're going to do every 6 months. We have to check in.
Yes,
you have to set us straight every 6 months.
Yes.
I think that Kyle, Lisa, some other house guys might need some guidance come June.
Absolutely.
So
just
look out. All right.
All I can say is in life, if you don't know what to do with a certain situation... sometimes things happen and the decision is made for you. So keep that in mind, people.
Mm-hmm. We could do a whole mental health life course on the Rants. There's nothing you don't know. There's nothing you haven't touched on in your life. You know what I mean?
I haven't lived all these years for nothing. And as long as I still can be of help to people and be of some use... it's good.
This is a great episode. Thank you, Granny.
You're welcome. Bye, folks.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roné. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.